Sometimes the pot calls the kettle black. It's wonderful to be here tonight. I hope you will allow me just a couple of minutes to say thank you for letting us come. We always love to come to Benson Grove. And I want to thank the folks from Coates for coming over tonight. It really makes me feel good. I want to thank the church here for praying for Kelly. Many of you have asked me about her. We still don't know what's going on. We're still waiting for the reports from John Hopkins, but continue to pray for her. We do appreciate your prayers. And brother, regarding Miss Donna, she has a no-trade contract. I don't think you have enough on hand to pay what it would cost to us to get her. Enjoy the good singing tonight. Enjoy the good fellowship. And I promise you that I will be quick tonight. I'm not going to preach no long time. I'll leave that to Brother Billy. But we are so thankful that we can be here in the house of the Lord tonight. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 63 for just a few minutes. I mentioned to the church this morning, and something I want to kind of share with you while you're turning. Let's remember that the true message of Christmas is Emmanuel, God with us. We may be going out of the Christmas season now, but let's not forget what the true message is all about. And I give the church some words to start the new year with this morning, and I want to share them with you tonight while you're turning. Don't let yesterday take up too much of today. The great Will Rogers made that statement one time, and there's a lot of truth in it. Yesterday's gone. We can't do anything about it. And then he also come down and made the statement like this. The devil tempts us to occupy our minds with the past and the future so that we neglect the present. We don't need to worry about the past. It's gone. The future may never be here. So let's concentrate on today as we come into 2007. Now, I want to ask this question first of all. How many parents do we have tonight? I want to see the hands of everyone that's got a child. Good. I know who I'm talking to tonight. Have you ever made this statement? What in the world is wrong with my children? How many of you ever made that statement? If you'll be honest, most of you have sometime or another. What in the world is wrong with my children? Well, tonight, that's what I want to talk to you about. Seven questions that God might ask, what's wrong with my children? So here we find here in Isaiah 63, beginning with verse 7, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord. Boy, I like to talk about the loving kindness of the Lord. Isn't it wonderful how loving and kind He is to us? And the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us. Thank God He gives us. That's what bestow means, is give unto. And I'm glad that He's bestowed upon us. And the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which He hath bestowed on them, that according to His mercies, according to the multitude of His loving kindness. And notice verse 8. For He said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So He was their Savior. In all their affliction, He was afflicted. And the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and His pity, He redeemed them. And He bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore, He was turned to be their enemy. And He fought against them. Sometimes I, no doubt in my mind, think God must wonder, what in the world are my children thinking about? What in the world are my children thinking about as 2006 comes to a close and we enter into a new year? I wonder how many times this year God has wondered, what in the world is she doing now? What in the world is he doing now? Oh, I know sometimes we get out of the will of God. But I'm glad He loves us anyway. But I want you to think about a few things. Seven questions that God might ask about this very subject. First of all, He would say, have not I saved them? Have not I saved them? Over in John chapter 10 verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. And by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, there's several ways of looking at that. I'm glad Jesus is my Savior. I'm glad he is the door, and I'm glad that I've entered in. Amen. I don't have to depend on somebody opening the door and letting me in. He's already done that. I'm glad when he died on the cross of Calvary, and when they stuck the spear in his side, they opened a door in the Rock of Ages that I could enter into him and he into me, and we would be there forever and ever. But I see something else in this verse. He said, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out. Amen. Beloved, I know sometimes we go in and out, don't we? Every one of you, I believe under the sound of my voice, if you would be honest, there have been times in 2006 that you went out from where you ought to be. You went out of the will of God. You went out of the presence of the Lord. You went out from where God would have you to be. But glory to God, I believe with all of my heart, it didn't take you long to come back in, did it? It didn't take you long to come back in. Just like Jesus gives us a parable of the sheep. They went out and 99 came back to the fold, but there was one out wandering around somewhere. So Jesus left the 99 and went and found that one and brought it back. Why? Because it was his sheep. And beloved, I believe tonight God would want you and I, as we enter into 2007, to quit wandering along away from everybody else and come on back into the family of God. Come on back with all of God's people, so God doesn't have to wonder where we're at. So God doesn't have to wonder what we're doing. Brother Billy, if he gets up here on Sunday morning or Sunday night and he looks out over the congregation and somebody's missing, I guarantee you, he misses you if you're not here. When I stand up on Sunday morning or Sunday night, I look out and I look over here and somebody that normally is sitting there is not there. I wonder where they're at. Unless I've heard from them, or maybe I know they're sick or out of town or something or other, I can't help but wonder. And but when you are not where you ought to be in the service of the Lord, God will ask a question. What's wrong with my child? What's wrong with her? What's wrong with him? Have I not saved them? Have I not let them go in and out? And have I not allowed them to find pleasure? Now, I don't know about you. I have enjoyed 2006. I really have. I've enjoyed it. They've been a lot of hard times. We've had a lot of heartaches and a lot of suffering. My daughter has worried us to death with not knowing what's going on. We've had some tragedies at the church. We've lost loved ones in the church. And we've had a lot of things happen. But praise God, I have enjoyed 2006. Why? Because there is pleasure in serving God. There's pleasure in knowing that we have been redeemed. Jesus told him, he said, don't rejoice that the devils are subject to you. Don't rejoice that you can do this or that you can do that. But rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. That's why we need to be having pleasure today. Tomorrow may never come. I'm going to enjoy tonight. I read something to the church this morning. And if they're there with me, I want to repeat it to you. And this is kind of what I want to look forward to in 2007. I may be brash and I may be bold, but as long as I'm lifing, I'm not getting old. Amen. And I believe as long as God's children will be happy and enjoy themselves and find pleasure in serving God, I believe they'll be able to enjoy 2007 more than they did 2006. Don't worry what's happened. You can't change it. But glory to God, we need to take every day and make it count for God. And maybe God sometime might ask a question, have not I satisfied my people? How many times have you parents thought, well, boy, I've done everything I can for my children. I've given him everything they wanted and everything I could do, and they're still not satisfied. Have you ever had that to happen to you? Have you ever been in those shoes? Well, sometimes I believe God may feel the same way, because he said in Psalms 107 and verse 9, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Amen. God said, I have satisfied satisfied the longing soul. I've given you what you long for. I've given you what you need. I've satisfied the hunger that you have. And why in the world are you not content with what I've given you? But let me listen. I couldn't help but think about this when they were singing a while ago about holding on to the old ways and those things. Praise God. I listen to all these televangelists and I hear all of these prosperity preachers and all these things going on, and all they can tell you, you need to get this and you need to get that, and you need to be living in a mansion, you need to be driving a Jaguar or whatever it is, that you need all these things and the other. But let me tell you, I'm glad the Lord told me, lay not up treasures on this earth, but lay them up in heaven. And let me tell you, when you and I will get to where we are seeking to be satisfied by the power of God and the blessings of the Lord, we can enjoy 2007. We can have a great time in the days that the Lord gives us. He satisfied my soul. Amen. When he saved me, he satisfied me. Now, there've been times that I've got out of the will of God. There've been times that I've wandered out and eat some onions and garlic and I didn't have the milk and honey that he wanted me to enjoy. There've been times that instead of having honey to eat on, I had persimmon pudding. But let me tell you, I'm glad that nothing in this world can satisfy you but the power of God. God's grace, God's love. Oh, John 14:4, Jesus tells us about the woman that come to him at the well and said, if you did just ask, I would have given you a well that would have been springing up unto you unto everlasting life. Amen. He satisfies every longing. He satisfies every need that we have. Then sometimes God may ask a question, have not I supplied all their needs? Oh, we start looking here and we look there and we look everywhere else. Churches are the worst in the world for it. You know that? I really believe that. Churches will not allow God to supply the things they have need of. So the pastor will get a vision. The church will get a vision. This needs to be done and that needs to be done. But oh, somebody will come along with their doomsday sayings and say, well, we can't do that. We don't have enough money to do that. We don't have enough people to do that. That's just exactly what the devil wants you to believe. Because God said, I will supply all your needs, didn't he? Amen. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If God wants Benson Grove Baptist Church to step out and do something, he's already made the way for you to do it. He's already got the financing to do it. He's already got the people to do it. All he wants is somebody that will allow him to supply the need that they have. Oh, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply some of your needs. No, my God shall supply all, and as Don Harrell says in redneck English, all means all, any way you want to look at it. Your needs according to his riches by the glory by Christ. Amen. He'll supply our food. Psalms 23 said he prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. I don't care what the devil tries to do to you. I don't care what a world tries to do to you. You can shout victory in the face of all of it because God said he would give you a table in the face of your enemies. Everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to love you. Everybody's not going to go along with you. But glory to God, you can eat T-bone steak while they're having bologna if you want to. Amen. You can enjoy the blessings of the Lord in the face of all the troubles and the trials that come. He said, I'll give you shelter. And then he said, I'll give you clothing. He's already given us a robe of righteousness, hasn't he? Amen. You don't have to go around wearing the old rags of sin. You don't have to go around wearing the old garments that's stained and cluttered up by the sinful things of your past. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and you become a son of God, and that's what he tells us in John 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Amen. Now are we the sons of God. He called me a son. He called me his child. He called me his own. And he gave me a robe of righteousness. Now all of your righteousness and my righteousness and everything else won't do us any good. All your good works will be for naught. But glory to God, when he saved me, he clothed me in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he says, I provided for you.
Amen.
Then he might look out and say, have not I sheltered them? Any of you ever remember the old song back in the 1960s? It was real popular. Where will I shelter my sheep tonight? Any of you ever heard that? Oh, I used to go to sleep every night. Every night I'd go to sleep. My daddy would have a WCKY Cincinnati, Ohio playing on the radio. And Wayne Rainey every night would play that song sometime before his broadcast went off of the air. He would play that song. Where will I shelter my sheep tonight? I will shelter my sheep in God's fold. Amen. I'm glad that He's given us a shelter. Psalm 61:3, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from mine enemy. Praise God, I'm glad. There's a shelter God has provided for His people. He's given you and I a safe shelter, and it's in the Rock of Ages. Glory to God, before the devil can destroy you, he's got to destroy the Holy Ghost that's in you, the whole body of the Lord Jesus Christ that you are in, and God the Father that's got all of us wrapped up in His love. And the devil's not that big, folks. We've got shelter from the storms of life. Oh, He's sheltering us from defeat. Exodus 19:4 tells us He will bear us on eagle's wings. Amen. Above the troubles and trials. Deuteronomy 32:11 tells us that He bears us on wings. Oh, thank God, He delivers us. He shelters us from defeat. There will be times that you will suffer defeat along the way. There will be times that things will not go your way. But glory to God, I'm glad, just like Jesus Christ came forth victorious from the grave with the keys of death and hell in His hands, you and I have already got the victory, because according to 1 John, the victory that we have, the victory that we possess, is by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have defeat. We have shelter from defeat. We have shelter from the devices of Satan. You know, I have to honestly say, most of the problems that I've had in my Christian life, most of the things that's thrown at me for a loop, came about not from Satan's devices, but from my own devices. Things I got into on my own. Things that I wanted to do my way instead of God's way. And then He gives us shelter from deception. The Bible said the devil would deceive the very elect if it was possible, didn't he? But glory to God, I'm glad He can't deceive a child of God, because Holy Spirit that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. Then God might say, have not I stabilized them? Have not I stabilized them? Isaiah 33:6. And wisdom and knowledge. Think about that. Pick up your Bible when you go home and read this. Isaiah 33:6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. Folks, what we need more than anything else in our churches today is wisdom and knowledge of the Lord. If we have the wisdom of the Lord, and if we have the knowledge of God, with it will come power, and with it will come promises, and we can overcome all the things that Satan would throw our way. But we need to have knowledge, and we need to have wisdom. You can have all the learning in the world and still be a fool. Amen. You can have all the degrees that you can carry and still be an ignorant fool. If you don't have the fear of God in your heart, if you have not been born again, if you are not basking in the sunlight of the Son of God, you are not a very smart person tonight. Amen. Why? Because you have no stability. You have nothing to anchor in. You have no one that will be there when the storms get rough. You have no one that will be there when the life's breath gets ready to leave your body. Oh, he goes on to say, the fear of the Lord is His treasure. Do you want treasure? All of us do. I think every one of us would like to have probably more wealth than what we've got. Probably everybody here would like to have more of the material things of this world. But neighbor, let me tell you, the greatest treasure you can have is peace in your heart. That comes from God. God might ask a question, what's wrong with my children? Have not I sealed them? Have not I sealed them? I went up Thursday and Friday, spent some time with my sister and brother. All the ones I got left, all the rest of them have died. But for years and years and years, I tried to get through to my sister that once you were saved, you were sealed to the day of redemption. And I tried and I tried and I finally give up. I finally just quit. And I'd look at her and say, well, sis, you go ahead and endure your salvation. I'm going to enjoy mine. And she really gave me a blessing. Thursday night, we were sitting there talking. And I looked over at her and all at once, I smiled a great big smile. And she said, what's so funny? I said, what you just said. I said, how many years have I been trying to get you to realize that when you got saved, you were sealed to the day of redemption? She got kind of sheepish. She said, for a long time. I said, whatever happened? She said, my pastor finally got through to me. Now, she is a member of a church in a denomination that does not believe eternal security. She is a member of a denomination that believes you can be saved today and go to hell tomorrow. But the pastor of the church that she is a member of preaches eternal security, preaches sealed to the day of redemption. And I looked at her and I began to talk to her. And I said, thank God for Ephesians 4:30, where the Bible said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. I no doubt in my mind, God sometimes may look out and say, what in the world is she doing? Or what in the world is he doing? I've sealed them to the day of redemption. They don't have to worry about going to hell. Why don't they just go ahead and enjoy the blessings of the Lord? Why is it? Now, some of you raise goats probably. Anybody here ever raise goats? Some of you have. Why is it that you can have a goat in a pasture with all the green grass there is, and that goat had rather be across the fence in a thicket where there's nothing but brambles and bushes? Huh? Isn't that like a lot of Christians? Isn't that like a lot of church members? Isn't that like a lot of people? They don't want to stay where the honey is. They don't want to stay where the blessings are. They want to go over there and get them some wild onions and garlic. They want to go over there and chew on some sawbriars for a while. Instead of feasting on the manna of God. He sealed us to the day of redemption. We should be able to look the devil right in the eye and shout hallelujah and say, get behind me. I know where I'm going. I have read the back of the book and I know I have won. And then the last question, and I believe God really and truly is asking this today of us. And I'm not even touched on the main part of the message I wanted to get to tonight, because I know some of you are getting hungry. But I'm going to give you the best thing of all right now. Sometimes God may look out and say, what's wrong with my children? Don't they know I'm coming soon? Don't they know I'm coming soon? Look over in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11. The prophet came to Jesse and said, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? Are all your children here, Jesse? And Jesse answered and said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. I don't know whether you got out of that what I got out of it. But Jesse had come down, Samuel had come down to the house of Jesse to find a king to replace Saul. And believe it, he come in there and Jesse paraded all his sons before him. Now Samuel knew there was another son. Samuel knew there was somebody else. And he said, is this all your children? Is this all your sons? Jesse looked up and said, no, my youngest one's down yonder taking care of the sheep. Samuel looked at him and said, "Send for him. Send for him. Because we're not going to sit down till all of them get here." Glory to God, ever since the Lord Jesus Christ went back to heaven, ever since he stood up by the right hand of God when old Stephen was being stoned to death and the heavens opened up and they looked up, Stephen saw the Lord standing on the right hand of the Father. I believe Jesus Christ has been standing right there ever since. And he said, "I can't sit down till all of my sheep get home. I can't sit down till all of my children get home." And I believe God is asking the question, why in the world are not my children doing everything they can to get all the sheep in so we can all sit down in the presence of the Lord? Why in the world are we not working for the Lord? Why in the world are we not bringing all in? Jesus Christ wants that church that he bought with his blood. Jesus Christ wants that blood, but the church that he purchased on the cross of Calvary. But he cannot have her until all have come in. Wouldn't it be wonderful if in 2007 we filled it up? Wouldn't it be wonderful if 2007 we heard the call come, "Sister, I think you need to start blowing that horn. I think you need to start blowing that horn." But what I want to hear is that trumpet sound from glory. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Some of you worried a lot this past year, haven't you? Some of you worried a lot more than you should have. I have. I know not to worry, but I do it anyway. I know not to be concerned because I know who's in control, but I still do it. I'm human. But I know what the Word of God said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Well, that's okay. I've said this many times. I don't care whether I've got a mansion. I don't care whether I've got a little hut. I don't care whether I've got a pup tent. I don't even care whether I've any dwelling place at all, because I'm not going to need it. There's not going to be any rain. There's not going to be any cold. There's not going to be any night. There's not going to be any heat. It's going to be perfect, so I can be content just to sit down by the river of the water of life and sit right there on that riverbank and enjoy the blessings of heaven. I don't care what kind of dwelling place I've got. What I want is the next part. Jesus said, "If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." But that's what I'm looking for. And I believe God sometimes says, "What in the world is my children thinking? What in the world are they thinking? Because I want them to come on home. I want them to come on. I want them to have what I've got for them if they would only come." I'm going to close with a question I ask a church this morning. I'm going to ask y'all tonight. I came across a word that I had never found in all of my life. Brother Billy, I come across a word that absolutely blew my mind. It says the Christian is a man whose main possessions lie in reversion. Now, how many of you ever heard the word reversion? How many of you ever heard that? Now, my people better remember because they heard it this morning. But how many of you have ever come across that word? I didn't even believe it was a word. I thought it's something like Sidlow Baxter might have come up with in some of his writings and some of these other fellows. I thought it might have been something that this writer had just come up with. So I get the old trusty dictionary down and I look up the word and there it is. And boy, when I read it, I had to shout just a little bit. I don't do much shouting. I'm not a real emotional person when it comes to that. But Brother Billy, I had to do a little bit of shouting the other day when I found out what reversion, R-E-V-E-R-S-I-O-N, means. Here's the meaning of it. The right to future enjoyment or possession. The right to future enjoyment or possession. And praise God, I'm glad, because I am my Father's child. I have the right to future enjoyment. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You may be sad for a while. You may have been sad in 2006. But friend, you may be shouting on the hills of glory in 2007.
Why? Because of reversion. You've got a right to look forward to the enjoyment of heaven. And then it also said the enjoyment for the future enjoyment or possession. So let them deceive you to go after all this wealth and all these riches that some people would try to lead you into. If you want to go on and follow that and be miserable, go ahead. Praise God, I know what I've got. I have an inheritance reserved for me in heaven, and it's been sealed, and my ownership is sealed, and it's secure, it's safe. I don't have to worry about anything happening to it. It's there for me to come and take. So I hope you will, in 2007, make up your mind that I am going to enjoy my salvation. Make up your mind that I'm going to do everything I can to get all of his sheep in so I can go home and enjoy what he's got for me. All of you probably look forward to Christmas getting your gift, didn't you? Y'all probably look forward to whatever somebody was going to get you. But let me tell you, it ain't nothing what you're going to get one day after a while. Last Saturday, I was delivering Christmas gifts that folks in the church had bought for needy families and food for needy families. And I shared with the church that it was wonderful to see the kids whenever they would get the gifts that was taken into them. Went into some homes and there wasn't a thing in the world under the Christmas tree. And the little kids' face would light up when they'd see the gifts with their names on them. That made me feel good. But you know what made me feel even better and sad at the same time? Went into this one house and this little 4-year-old boy looked up and his eyes got about that big. And he looked at his mama and he said, "Mama, we will have a turkey for Christmas." He wasn't interested in the toys that we put under the tree. He wasn't interested in the gifts. What tickled him was they was going to have a turkey for Christmas. Folks, just stop and realize there's a lot of folks out here in this world that are not enjoying what we have as children of God. A lot of people out here that can't claim the things that we are claiming. Why in the world don't we enjoy our salvation and let them know what we've got? Instead of letting them hear us bellyache and gripe and complain, let's let them hear us praising God day in and day out. Let's lift up our hands and glorify the Lord. Father, tonight we thank you for being able to be at Benson Grove Baptist Church. We thank you for this people. And Lord, bless in the coming year. Bless in the days that's ahead. And we'll give you the honor and the glory. In Christ's name, amen. Brother Billy.